when you go to the web that website to listen to it. This is going to be part 8 of a part 9 series that we are ministering called Taking Up Our Cross. Part 1 taught us how and what it means to take up our cross, and that denying ourselves for any other reason than to take up our cross is really a false denial, an unbiblical denial. And the only things that we are to be denying are the things that would hinder us taking up our cross. And our cross is a daily cross. It's not a Sunday and a Wednesday message. It's a lifestyle. It is a life-centered, a cross-centered life. Amen. We are told that Jesus only had to come and die once. But we're told by Jesus that if we're going to follow Him, we have to take up our cross daily. Here's the good news. You get everything He's offering if you're following Him. But it comes through you taking up a cross, which simply is your faith exclusively in what Jesus did for you. If you add anything to that, you've eliminated yourself from the process. Amen. If you're looking at your horoscope for direction, if you're looking at whatever, if you're looking at anything, the horoscope, if you've got a dream catcher hanging up in your house because your grandma said this really works, if you're carrying a shiny penny around in your pocket from grandpa, any of this superstitious garbage or anything that's even biblical you find in the Word of God that you're doing to think God owes you something, then you've eliminated yourself from the process. And here's the hard thing to take, but you have to come to the conclusion of this. All the years that we were out there in these churches preaching all this mess that wasn't pointing us to the cross, you have to come to the conclusion, if you're honest with yourself, that you were not, because you could not, follow Jesus. Without a cross, you're not following Jesus. Now, those of you that are honest with yourself are going to have to come to that conclusion. All the years we were in that nut house down the road there, and our faith was in that we had to tithe up, and our preacher had to tithe up, and we had to be covered by a preacher. We were not following Christ. You can't follow Christ without taking up your cross. And that's simply, let me say it again, make sure you got this one thing. That taking up your cross is not your suffering that you're going through. Your car wreck, your cancer, your this, your that. Your cross, there's only one, is the cross you were crucified on with Him. You were crucified with Him. You don't have some other special cross. Your cross is the one He died on for you, and you were crucified on with Him. That's the cross you take up daily. He doesn't have to come back. He's not hanging on the tree. He's not coming back to hang on the tree. When He said it was finished, it was finished. Amen. But for you to walk in what's finished, you got to take up your cross in what He did to finish it every day of your life. It is that intense. It is to that degree. The Bible says we're to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that doesn't mean His obedient acts throughout His life. That means His last and final act of obedience, the only one that counted for Him. A little too quiet in here tonight. All the other acts of obedience meant nothing without that final, last act of obedience, which was to die for my sins. That act of obedience, right there, is what it took to get us in. Amen. That act of obedience is what we bring our minds back to. Every thought. Amen. Part 9 will be Wednesday night, and we'll be looking at, without a cross, you'll faint and lose your way. Amen. Because we're told in the Bible, for strength we're to look to Calvary. If we're going to see Jesus, we're to look to Calvary. That means taking up your cross. The moment you were born again, you took up your cross. You couldn't explain that. You didn't know what you were doing except believing in Christ, died for your sins. That's all you knew you were doing. I'm believing that. I'm accepting that as my story, my payment, what my Savior did for me. I'm believing that. You couldn't explain it like you can now. But in all reality, you were taking up your cross. through faith in what he did for you at Calvary. So in that first message, some way back in December the 2nd, we talked about what it means to take up your cross. Most of the church is ignorant to that. They do not understand that. They do not know that. They think that they, you know, their cross is a car wreck or a divorce. And you better know how to take up your cross when you have a car wreck or go through a divorce. But that's not your cross. Amen. You with me tonight? The first reason, we begin to give different reasons, biblical reasons, why we take up our cross. The first one is because Jesus told you to do it. And he said, if you love me, you'll do what I told you to do. Those that love me do what I say. So everybody, now imagine this. This is sharp to the point, but it's reality. And I know that's the way you like it. Without a cross, you can't be a disciple. Without a cross, you're not following Christ. All those churches out there, all those get-togethers out there that don't preach and teach the cross, that don't have their faith in the cross exclusively, they're not following Christ. There's a form there, but there's no power there. You see, the power is in the cross. It's in the cross alone. Jesus told us, let's look at it now. Let's hang here a minute. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Those that love me, they do what I say. They heed my commandments. They heed my word. That's what he said. So those who aren't taking up their cross, they may say they love him. But do they love him? A crackhead loves his mama, but he can't manifest that love because he's stealing from her, robbing her blind. Yes. They may say they love God, but Jesus said they don't if they don't do what I say. I'm sticking with the word. Even if the word wakes me up on a day and says, you've been wrong, Curtis. You've taught it wrong. You've preached it wrong. You've led my people astray. My word is always right. And you've been wrong. So I have to come to that conclusion. Yes, Lord, I've been wrong. People, I'm sorry. I said this. I led that way. I'm going to be honest because God tells me in his word that only the honest heart can hear the word, keep the word, and the word bring forth fruit with patience. Only the honest heart. A lying heart cannot make it, won't make it. Second reason was because only through the cross comes salvation, initial and daily, sanctification. Without a daily cross, there's no being mature. There's no conforming into the image of Jesus Christ without a cross. It's not happening. It's not going on. It's make-believe. It's religion. It's whatever we want to call it. But without a cross, there is no sanctification process. Now you can sign up for these CDs. You can email me at curtishutchinson@att.net and I'll send you all my notes and you'll just be more blessed. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The third reason was because we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that we don't stand a chance against without the cross. Resisting the devil so he will flee is faith in the cross. Without that, the devil's rejoicing. He's happy that he's got the church, most of it, gripped around the neck, choking the life out of him. Number four was without the cross, the enemy can devour the saint. God allows the enemy to destroy his people if they choose not to go his way. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. We, as the people of God, can be destroyed by the enemy. We can perish. We can reap lives of destruction if we don't go the way of God. As I shared the last couple of services, it's a good time to throw it in now. Cain refused to do what God told him to do, even though he watched his brother do it. He knew what to do, but he refused to do it. And God offered him the way, showed up and warned him. If you do well, it'll be okay. But if you don't do well, there's a sin sacrifice at the door. And you know what? Cain said, I don't need that. God promised Cain that if you'll go the way I've prescribed for you to go, if you'll do what I've told you to do, then you'll rule over your brother as the firstborn, and his desire will be for you. And Cain, in his own heart that was evil, was just saying to himself, you know what? I'll do this my way and make it work. I'll end up being the firstborn because I'll kill my brother. And then I'll be the only one, and I'll be in charge. But you see, that didn't work because he is representative. Cain is a representative of all the human race that refuses to go the way of God, which is the way of the sacrifice and the cross. And he represents the wanderers. We are wanderers out there, wandering around, just not sure of anything. All those years we were in that nut house down the road, we just wasn't sure. We just couldn't put our finger on what was wrong, but we just were never sure. And I'm telling you, once the Lord brought this truth to our hearts, a sureness just took us over. I mean a sureness. There's no room for doubt. It's like a cup full of assuredness. Glory to God. And we're so sure of what we've got now that every wind of doctrine that just come blowing up, we just waved at it as it went on down the road. You ain't coming in here. I know the truth now. 10 years of believing this truth. Every wind of doctrine, every fad just keeps moving right on down that old line road. Not one have we jumped on the bandwagon with after we found this great place of steadfastness in the faith. Without the cross, the enemy can devour the saint. Without the cross, number 5, there's only spiritual blindness and darkness. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me, stop right there. What do you got to have to follow him? A cross. Faith in his cross. A cross. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That tells me there's no light without the cross. Man, when you started hearing the message of the cross, the scripture started coming alive in your heart.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit only reveals truth. His name is Jesus, hallelujah. And he reveals that truth to be applied to your life through what he did at Calvary. Jesus is the truth, but what he did at Calvary makes him the applicable truth to your heart.
Amen.
The prosperity of God is Jesus Christ. And the word of God begin to prosper in your heart when you begin to be pointed to the cross for all your understanding of God's word. All of it. No understanding comes from God about this, his word, except through his son Jesus. The Bible says in the last days God speaks to us by his son. And that's talking about his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Number 6 was, without the cross, there's no partaking of the Lord. Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. That's talking about Calvary. That's where we eat the Lamb. That's where we partake of the Lamb through faith in what he did for us there at Calvary. We're not partaking because we think we're in the Spirit. We come out of all that mess. And there's millions out there in that mess, rolling in the floor tonight. Just think they're partaking. Man, they're partaking of the devil's cup, I'm telling you. I don't care if they got the biggest building, the biggest steeple, the most fanciest dressed and eloquent speaking preacher. If it ain't about the cross, it ain't got God in it. And I'm that determined, I'm that desperate to keep believing that. No turning back. No turning back. I'm kind of like Peter. Where are we going to go, Lord? You got the words of life. There's no partaking of the Lord without the cross. Now, I'm saying there's no this and no that without the cross, but you got to see the positive side of that. With the cross, there's daily bread. With the cross, there's light. With the cross, there's power. With the cross, there's strength. With the cross, you get it all. Romans 8:32 tells you that. You get it all with Jesus, it says. Have you ever read that verse? It says you get it all with Jesus. It says it this way. If God spared not his only son, but lifted him up, raised him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You get it all when you get Jesus. Ain't no need sitting around begging God. You've already got it all. Just walk with him. Trust him. Keep looking at him and watch what he'll do in your life. You've already been given all things in heavenly places. You've already been blessed with everything. Amen. You got everything you need. Amen. Some of you looking like, well, I don't know about that. You need to wake up. You don't think you're rich. Man, you're rich. You are rich. The riches of heaven is God's mercy and grace. And you've already received the riches of heaven when you got born again. Now God just wants you to learn to walk in it. Amen.
Amen.
Without the cross, number 7, we have no fellowship with Christ. Preached it this morning. Absolutely no fellowship with Him. It's all make-believe and it's all religion. There is no fellowship, and I'm not going to go preach that again. You're going to have to get the CD or go to the internet and watch that message from this morning. But there is no such thing as fellowship with Christ if we're not trusting in what He did at Calvary. You can turn your favorite spiritual song on and thank you. Oh, yeah. It ain't happening, baby, except in your head. That's all you got going on is head stuff. And that won't do a thing for you. You got to have your faith planted in the cross. And you can't allow anything to move it away. Grandma, husband, wife, kid, anybody. Nobody. Amen. Ain't no fellowship with Christ without the cross. Now wait a minute. You mean to tell me, preacher, that all them years, yes I mean to tell you, son, all them years that you had your faith in all those other things that you've been honest enough to admit, your fellowship wasn't with Christ. Show gets quiet. People don't like that. Do you not understand you can waste time and think that you right? Do you not understand that there are people that we're surrounded by in this big town and in every town in America that think they're the closest ones to God in the town and they're the farthest ones away? The people that serve God, they think by their dresses and their no makeup and their never cut hair and buns on their head, and they call it holiness, and because they're doing all that, they're the closest to God. They're bound under the law. They're under the law. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:18, those that are led of the Spirit are not under the law. That tells me God, the Holy Ghost, will never lead me to a place of doing anything to get anything from God. But the Holy Spirit will always lead me to the place of Calvary. Look to Calvary. Look to my Son. He won't lead anywhere else. He won't lead me back to the law. Those that are led by the Spirit are not under the law. What's the law? The law of doing anything. For righteousness, the law of doing something. And churches today tell you, if you don't do the water baptism thing, you're not going. If they die believing that, they've eliminated themselves from going to heaven. Anybody that believes you can get water baptized and make it to heaven, they're not going. See, that's a hard saying. That's a biblical thing. That's a thing God told us to do. Yes, but not to be saved. Not to be saved. Jesus did it all at Calvary. Calvary covered it all. Everything we do as children of God is because we're already saved. Amen. I got something written here. I need to read it tonight. Wrote it this morning. Or last night. Correct biblical fellowship is only found and experienced through our serving God. By our faith in what He did to serve us. And we've taught this before, and I'm not going to teach it tonight, but Romans chapter 6 tells us that you cannot serve God unless you're serving righteousness, and you can't serve righteousness unless your faith is anchored in the cross. That's what Romans 6 teaches us. There is no serving God, and serving God and fellowship are one and the same.
Amen.
If your fellowship is with the Lord, you're serving the Lord. But there is no fellowship or serving the Lord without faith anchored in the cross. So I'm honest enough tonight to say I threw away years of my life in ministry. Even in as a minister, I threw it away. I wasted so much time. And whether you want to admit it tonight or not, I'll go ahead and tell you, so did you.
Amen.
I'll help you. So did you. Amen. You have to come to that conclusion. Without a cross, there is no fellowship. The church today is in their own little thing going on, and Jesus is knocking on the door, wanting back in. They think they've got Jesus in there with them. They think they're walking in the light, but the light is outside. He said, "Behold, I stand and knock at the door." What's at the door? The sacrifice is at the door that they don't want anything to do with. The message of the cross is at the door. They don't want anything to do with that. They've got their own thing going on. Jesus is not in there. They are not fellowshipping with Him. Jesus said, "Beware that that light in you be not darkness. For how great is that light, that darkness?" You know what He's talking about? Those that are walking in darkness but calling it light. If the light be in you, really be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I said this morning, how many millions have thought they served God down through their lineages? Mom and daddy, son, daughter, grandkids, great-grandkids, set apart for the work of the Lord, only to be told by the Lord, "I never knew you." Because they wouldn't go His way. They kept listening to a man when the gospel came and knocked on their door. Jesus knocked on their door. When ministries like this come into this region, it's Jesus knocking on the door. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some that rise up and answer the door. You did, why won't more? You did, why won't more? In Bodco, Arkansas, there's going to be more people that say, "I hear the Lord." In Broken Bow, in Queen City, in all these places that God is raising these little storefront churches up, preaching the message, that is Him knocking on the door. Yes. People drive by, that ain't that little storefront, they won't make it. They ought to be with us. We got 500. 500 what? Come on. You got 500 what? We got 15 Holy Ghost filled, cross-believing. Ain't no fellowship with the Lord. There's only Sunday morning and Wednesday night, or every night if you get, just socials. If you ain't got the cross in your life, if your faith's not exclusively in the cross, you're only fellowshipping with each other. Social get-togethers, potluck, ping pong. Why do you think all these churches got pool, ping pong, badminton, horseshoes, and all that going on for the kids? Because they don't have the cross involved. They don't need all that. That was this morning. Without the cross, we have no fellowship with Christ. Tonight, we're going to look at number 8. Without the cross, there's no access to God's grace. But with the cross, that grace is multiplied daily in your life. With the cross, God's grace is multiplied into your life. And as we've learned, possibly the greatest thing this group of believers has learned in 2015 is something I began to minister back in March. It's on the website. God's grace is God at work. Never forget that. God's grace is not a poof, I just imparted something to them called grace. No, God's grace is God at work. And the best illustration of that is the first time grace did something for you, what did it do? It saved you. Amen. And what happened there? God moved in and God went to work. You heard the gospel through somebody that grace was working in them. Somebody telling you the truth. You believed it. God moved in and God went to work. And as long as you keep believing that story about what Jesus did in Calvary, the Holy Spirit keeps working in you both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Bible says it's grace that teaches us. Who's really teaching us? God, the Holy Ghost. You see, the Spirit of grace is God. The Spirit of truth is God. The Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, that's all one. When we talk about grace, we're not talking about something mystical and magical. We're talking about the Spirit of grace, who is God, that teaches us, called us, saved us, labors through us. It's God at work in us and through us. Amen. That's what grace is. It's God at work in your life. wished I could preach that again. That's the greatest thing that I believe I've learned in 2015, that God's grace is God at work. It's not just some covering that God blankets us with to excuse all our sin. Grace is not something that God just puts a block on and covers our sin. Grace is God at work to save us from and to deliver us from sin. I've heard so many Christians down through the years, foul-mouthed Christians, say, oh, that's all right, it's covered by grace. They don't know what grace is. They don't have a clue what grace is. Grace is God at work in your life, and we've learned over the last 4 years that God only works in truth. He only works in truth. And I know when we preach that, preachers have cut me off, and they've even called Brother Swaggart down there on me. They've cut me off. They've started putting my name on Facebook, put my name out there and blasted me, saying that God can't move and God can't work. I'm saying that God can't move and God can't work if it's not the truth. And I'm going to say it again. God only works in truth. Psalms 33:4. It's written on the wall right there. Never forget it. For the word of the Lord is right. Curtis is not, but the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. He's not working outside of truth. That's mystical. That's where the phrases come from. God works in mysterious ways. Oh, it sounds so spiritual. Does not work in mysterious ways. He works in the truth. And the truth has been revealed. It's Christ and him crucified. That's what he works in. Hallelujah. I love it when the preachers explain that God laid the foundation in the blood of his son. The lame was slammed from the foundation of the world. Before God built anything, created anything, he laid the foundation in the blood of the lamb. And then everything after that, if God was doing it, it was because of that. It was related to that. If you were a believer of that promise, you were part of God's kingdom. If you rejected that that God had laid, you were not a part of it. And you'd be destroyed. When God showed up in the Garden of Eden to give the message of promise to Adam and Eve, he was only preaching to them what he'd already done. He'd already laid it, it's done. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God shows up and preaches a message based on something he'd already done to cover it all. Amen. God, listen, preachers have wanted more of this, so we changed the message. We wanted more chairs and more people to get more of this, so we changed the message. God has not changed the message. The message remains the same. The seed of the woman will crush the devil's head and he will bruise his heel. That took place on Calvary's hill. Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus tasted death for every man by the grace of God. That means through his cross, through his death on the cross, for you and me, that all took place by the grace of God. This has been one of the most astounding things that I've ever learned, that when they stood there that day and looked at Calvary, how could that be God's grace? It looked like everything that it wasn't. It looked like his defeat, but it was his victory. It looked like the devil had finally won, but he was stripped of all his power.
Yes.
It looked like he had been the one, but I guess he wasn't the one. You see, grace is at work when it appears as he is not. God was working. What's the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? God was in Christ reconciling sinners. God was in his Son working my salvation for me. It didn't appear that way, but he was there. And through that great illustration, that reality of Calvary, we can know better tonight that all things work together for my good, whether I can see it happen or not, it makes no difference. If the totally opposite seems to be true, my God is working on my behalf. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Calvary looked like that's it. That's dumb. He ain't nobody. If he was somebody, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. Well, then save it. He couldn't even save himself. But I'm telling you, he did what he came to do, which was die. And the Bible says he did it by the grace of God. He did it by the power of God's grace. He did it because God was working in him. Tells you that in 2 Corinthians, God was in Christ reconciling sinners unto himself. Man, I'm blessed to know that tonight. I'm blessed to know that tonight, that I can come and get grace. That means I can come and ask God to work for me. I need you to work in me. I need you to change me. I need you to change the situation, Lord. And you can get God. You can't make God do anything, but through the blood, God sees that and he moves. And he begins to work through your faith in what his son did. That's grace. We learned this year that it works the same for everybody. No matter who you are, God speaks. We have his word right here. God speaks, and in the middle, you get to believe it, if you will. And God started it by speaking it. You get in the middle by believing it, hearing and believing it. And if you'll believe it, God will perform it. You're not called to perform anything. We're not called to perform anything. When we get caught up trying to perform, that means we're out of the process. We're simply to hear God, believe God, and watch God perform. He longs to perform his word in those that will believe. He is looking all over the earth in this very moment for those that would submit to his truth, his way, so that he could work in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and that we might be true testimonies of his glory. He's looking. He never stops looking. The Bible says his eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for who he might show his strength on the behalf of. I want God working in me. I want God working through me. And that sometimes puts us in a place where it appears to ourselves and others, God ain't doing nothing. But you better remember Calvary. Because it's what God has given us to look at for every situation we have. When things are so horrible, it looks like it ain't nothing working for us. Our God says that's the way Calvary looked, and I was doing more for you there on that day than you could ever do for yourself. God did more for us on that day than we could all ever do for ourselves put together. God saved all who would believe that day on Calvary's hill. I said God saved all who would believe that day on Calvary's hill. And that alone is how we get our grace. Grace does not come through us any other way, going to church, reading our Bible, in prayer, doing nothing we do. Grace is distributed to us by the Holy Spirit as we believe the truth. Because grace is only found in the truth. Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If God only works in truth and grace is God at work, that means that God only works in the truth that we believe. That's not a tongue twister. We've just been out there so far on a limb that's about to break, listening to garbage. For too many years, we hadn't really got secure enough. We're getting more secure every day, though, praise God.
Amen.
We still got so much old thoughts in our minds. That's why when you hear the truth like that, some people go, Just straight truth. The grace of God is only found in the truth.
That's right, amen.
Colossians 1:6. Let's read it. Colossians 1:6. I believe I can find that tonight. Colossians 1:6. Put it on the TV, would you, Tracy? Thank you, sister. We're going to get us a TV, one of them there TV sets here in this church. Bunch of rednecks with a TV. We'll be something, won't we? Colossians 1:6. Look at this. Let's back up to verse 5. back 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me say that one more time. whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You can't separate those. If you do, you're off track and you're headed for destruction. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world and brings forth fruit. What brings forth fruit? The word of the truth of the gospel. As it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. The grace of God is only found in the truth. The grace of God is God at work when we believe the truth. I've already given you the best illustration of that. It's the moment you were born again, God began a work in you. And He only works in your life based on that and that alone. Jesus told Peter, and the boy standing there that day, I'll build my church upon this rock. And that rock was the revelation of who He was. And the revelation of who Jesus is, if you got it, then your faith is in what it is that made Him God's revelation to you. His cross. His death. You see, that's where you were placed into Christ. It wasn't out behind the barn when you were 14. You were placed into Christ when He died on Calvary's cross in the plan of God. So we see here in Colossians 1:6 that grace is found in the truth. And the truth is Jesus. And some would say to people like us today, yeah, but God's word is true from Genesis to Revelation. And we would say to them, but Jesus said the Bible is about Him. He is the Genesis. He is the Revelation. He is all that's in between. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you say you have life, but they are they which testify of me. If we're not preaching Jesus and what He did at Calvary, we're not preaching. Amen. Not of God. Not of God. You know, I know some call us narrow-minded, and they just testify on our behalf.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm telling you, what we are becoming is more narrow-minded. More determined.
Yes.
There can be no mixtures. God does not wink at ignorance. He cannot bless, even if we don't know. He cannot bless. He cannot work in our ignorance. He only works. Don't sit here and think, oh, well, yeah, God did me. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Don't stand up and pull. Don't come up here at church and say, well, preacher, just some things you need to know. Okay, well, if there is, you go ahead and tell me. But don't try to tell me that God was working in your ignorance, because He don't work in ignorance. He works in truth.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
How many of you know it's not God's mercy that's out there keeping the world? It's God's long suffering.
Yes.
God's mercy is not obtainable except through the blood.
Amen.
God's grace is not obtainable except through the cross. The Lord told me this sitting at home last week. He said, my grace demands a cross. The grace of God demands a cross. Your faith in the cross, you get more grace than you'll ever know you could ever possibly need. Jesus came with grace and truth, the Bible says in John chapter 1. Can't be offered to anybody till He dies, though. He had to taste death by grace so that grace could be ushered into us. Let me say that again. The grace and truth that He brought to man is only brought to us through the sacrifice. He had to taste death by grace so that you and I could have the grace that was offered to us at Calvary. Grace demands a cross. There's no such thing as discipleship without a cross. There's no such thing as grace being given to man without a cross. There's no such thing as daily bread. No cross, no daily cross, no daily bread.
That's right. Amen.
Now the church, most of the church doesn't like preaching like this. They're like, well, now, you're just trying to use the Bible to make a narrow point. You're exactly right. We're to rightly divide the scriptures. That means righteously divide the scriptures. That means bring them to a conclusion of Christ and what He's accomplished. I pray we don't get burnt out and become complacent over hearing the message of the cross. All that do fade away. This message stirs our hearts. It stirs our soul. It does something. It is the power of God at work in our lives. And if it's not, then we don't know what it is yet. The Bible says we're drawn near by the blood in Ephesians 2:13. The Bible teaches in Hebrews 2:9 that it's only God's grace comes to us through the blood. See, there's been too much witchcraft, voodoo, make-believe, and all kind of philosophy in the church that's not according to the Word of God. I know I was guilty. I was out there preaching all kind of garbage. And God couldn't do anything in any of it. He didn't take every once in a while and find a little short piece to clip in. He couldn't. He couldn't. He only works in truth. And I know people don't like preachers saying, well, God couldn't. He can't. Because He's made that way right. He's made that way the only way. So He won't work outside of it. He says, this is right, my word is right, and that's all that's right. That's why faith outside of God's word in the context of His Son is not legitimate. He can't honor it because it's warped faith. It's illegitimate faith. If it's not faith in the word of God in the context of His Son Jesus, it's not right. That's what Jesus said. The Word was about Him. So if we don't understand the Word of God in the light of the one who said, I am the light, then we're not seeing the Word correctly. But we're a miracle. Sometimes I just get beside myself at what God has done. And don't think I'm preaching that we're better than anybody or that we're the only ones preaching it. I'm not. I don't believe that for a minute. We're not better than anybody. We're better equipped than most. But we're not the only ones preaching it, but we are preaching the only gospel, and it is a narrow way.
Amen.
Amen. And we must continue daily to preach it. Listen, if Jesus said, take up your cross daily, why would we think we wouldn't need to preach it every week? Folk who say, I don't believe we just ought to have to hear everything that comes out of the Word pertaining to the cross. Those folk don't know about taking up their cross. They don't know what it means, so they can't do it. And if they can't do it, they're eliminated from daily bread. They're, don't sit here and say, no, well, I don't know about that. God said, no. You've got to deal with yourself. That's where the denying yourself comes in. The devil, he's going to whisper in here and say, well, no, God ain't that straight and narrow. Yes, He's more straight and narrow than you know.
Yes.
If it's been a couple years, I don't know. I said one Monday night prayer, Lord, this road's getting more narrow. He said, no, you just not seeing how narrow it's always been. It's always been this narrow. But because He loves us and He's allowed us to go through some of the things we've gotten off track to go through, He's allowed that to happen. But He showed up again in our lives and He began to reveal the truth to us. And I know we sit here and say, well, why ain't He doing it to everybody? Listen, you'll have to ask Him that. Just be thankful for what you have. He's given you eyes to see. He's given you ears to hear. He's tugged on your heart and He's drawn you close. Seize that. Don't let anybody else's unfaithfulness or false religion pull you away. God's working a miracle in your life. You know He is. You're experiencing it daily. There's no such thing as God's grace without a cross. The Bible says that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus in Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It don't matter how long you've been saved, you still can't get to the throne room of God, the throne of God, without your faith being in the blood. These people who are truly saved, they got saved, but yet now they think they can confess their way in, and I'm this and I'm that now, and I can just go, but you can't, I don't care how long you've been born again, you can't get to the throne without faith in the blood. Amen, Brother Curtis. I like to hear you preach, Brother Curtis. Glory to God. You just tell me the truth. I'll just say it about myself. You can't get in without the blood. It's all witchcraft, voodoo, and make-believe, and we got our own thing going without the cross. With the cross, you get it all. But it's a drab life. It's not just what the world looks at and says, oh, I want that. That's so lovely. It's drab. Our families don't understand it. Some of the ones closest to us don't understand it. That cloak of humility is drab looking to the world. Hey, man, what's wrong with y'all? All y'all do is talk about the cross, that old death. That's history. That's 2,000 years ago. You ought to come to our church. God's doing a new thing. You'll hear our music, man. We got some awesome music. What you see is haughtiness. Cloak of humility. Let me tell you what you get when you're humble. The grace of God. God gives more grace to the who? The humble. But you don't get grace without faith in the cross. So that defines humility. That defines humility. That humility is faith in the cross. Humility is not, oh, how are you today, ma'am? Let me get that door for you. Let me get that chair for you. That's not humility. Humility is when you say, I give up. I trust Jesus. He paid it all for me today on my job, for my marriage, to raise my kids, for my finances, for my health, for everything. He did it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible defines the Bible. God gives grace to the humble, but He only gives grace to those who have faith in the cross. So humility is a denying of myself and accepting His only way, the way of the cross. See how easy that is. Don't you wish we'd have been hearing that since we were 12?
Amen.
I do.
Yes, amen.
I'm not mad about where I could have been. I'm thankful for where I am right now.
Amen.
I'm not angry that I threw away years. I hate that that happened, but I'm so thankful for what God's doing now. I'm just forgetting that easy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand with me tonight or I'll preach all night. There ain't no grace, the Texan said. Without the cross. But with the cross, you get grace multiplied into your life daily. That means you get God working on your behalf daily. God opening doors for you that no man can open. God shutting doors that you didn't need to go through to begin with. God giving you favor with man, even in your community, on your job. Listen, I'm telling you, if God's working for you, who can be against you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus in this house tonight. We praise the name of Jesus in this house tonight. We glory in the name of Jesus. We boast in the cross and the shed blood. We accept that as our truth, our way, and our life. What our Jesus did for us. What our Jesus finished on Calvary's hill. Glory to God. We thank you for that grace that is greater than anything we know. That grace that abounds above all sin. Hallelujah. That grace that keeps labors on our behalf. That grace that teaches. That grace that keeps us, our God, at work on our behalf. Even when it appears He may not be, in faith, He's blessing. Always blessing, always strengthening, always encouraging us. We love you tonight, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus in this house. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us back the glory that was lost. Hallelujah. If you need prayer tonight, I want to ask you to come immediately to the altar. No matter who you are, no matter what it is, don't wait for somebody else. If you need to get right with God, you can just make your way down here to the altar tonight and just get right with God. Bring your whole family if you need to. Hallelujah.